Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It's your girl, Denise Salcedo, and it is Tuesday, July 2nd, which means I am here to chat some WWE NXT. My co-host, Chinadu, is out for this week, so we hope to have him back next week. But in the meantime, we're going to go out and have a good show here tonight because we got NXT to talk about, and then we also have NXT Heatwave to get into because that is happening this weekend. So tonight's show was the go home show into NXT Heatwave. So we got predictions to get into, what we think might go down, and all of that good stuff. Everybody, actually realized I didn't even have the Heatwave card up just yet, so I'm going to pull that up because we're going to break all of that down. But before we go ahead and get started, just a friendly reminder to everybody here. So throughout this entire month of July, I am posting daily SummerSlam recap videos here on the channel. So if any of you are interested in the nostalgia type of stuff, check those out. July 1st through July 31st, I'm dropping videos recapping each and every single SummerSlam. I've posted 2 videos already. Today was the second one. Tomorrow, the third one's coming up, and I'm still working on the rest. I am on a very, very strict schedule. My life right now is just content, and it's gotten to the point. It's funny because I just started, like, I'm 2 days into the month, guys, and I already feel it's a lot to have to do, but at the same time I really truly feel like I can do it, and I'm kind of having a good time with the challenge. So I've come to the conclusion that I'm a masochist because I like the pain of being stressed out and not knowing whether or not I'm going to be able to complete these videos. But there is no will or will not. It's only I will complete those videos. So check those out. Give them some love, guys. They're very fun. I love that the watch time for those videos is very, very high, which tells me that people are enjoying them. And so that makes me very happy. I've also had a couple of people go out and tell me that they've gone back and watched some of the stuff that I talked about on those old SummerSlams, or that it put them in the mood. So if you want to get in the mood to watch some SummerSlam, you guys can check out those videos. But let's go ahead. Hey, this is right. This is from Mike here, who says, no pain, no gain. Yes, exactly that. So we'll see how that turns out, and we'll see if I continue to do stuff like this in the future, because it really is a lot on top of everything else that I'm already doing. But it's all right. We're going to do it. That's why they call it a challenge. But we got to get into some of these super chats here today. A lot of good stuff here. Also, I think this is it. Sheldon Jackson sends 5 DWO memberships. And yes, this is officially, guys, 100 straight streams that Sheldon has gifted people memberships to the channel. 100. I can't even fathom it, to be honest. I know I've been here, I've seen it, but it's just like, I don't even know what to say. Sheldon, thank you for your endless dedication to the channel, and for doing a good thing, not just for myself, but for the people here, and giving them those memberships for the channel. It really, I don't even think I'll be able to say what it means, but thank you so much, Sheldon. Guys, give some love to Sheldon in the comment section, man. 100 straight streams of gifted memberships. Amazing. We got some super chats here. This one's from Brandon Rosen, who says, by God, give Lola Vice the title. I hope she smashes Roxanne on Sunday. I have a feeling that this Lola Vice, Roxanne Perez subject that we're going to get into today is going to have a very different set of opinions from each and every single person here. Just based off of what I've seen on social media, I have a feeling that some people loved this, some people did not, and some people, well, they're in between. So we're going to go ahead and break that down in just a second. But we got Matt Logan here, who says, what has NXT done to the virgin? Now he's an alcoholic. He's Matt Logan. You're right. Holy shit. I completely forgot that. You're right. Dude, I'm sorry. I'm like dying right now because I completely forgot that Brooks Jensen was the guy that never even had a kiss from a girl. What the hell? So, okay, For those of you who are confused right now and are like, what is happening? What is happening? Well, let me just explain really quickly. So Brooks Jensen, one of the biggest storyline that he was a part of in NXT was basically him in this whole freaking love story that they did, right? So they did this whole entire love story where he was, he hadn't gotten a kiss. He had never been kissed before. It was a whole thing with him and Kiana James and Fallon Henley and Josh Briggs. And it was him and Kiana. And basically, it was like the love story for NXT. So he was basically this kid who had never been kissed. He was shy. He was trying to get a girl. Everybody was like trying to help him out. She ended up breaking his heart. It was a whole thing, right? And now Brooks Jensen is essentially they're not saying he's an alcoholic, like, but it's sort of implied because he's been doing this thing where he's going out there and he's getting involved in matches. We were talking about him last week because he got involved in the match between Sean Spears and Trick Williams. And so this then led to Sean Spears defeating the champion Trick Williams. Of course, it was a non-title match, so the title didn't change hands, but that basically meant that he would be part of this Fatal 4-Way that's happening at NXT Heatwave. And I was not a fan of the Brooks Jensen stuff being involved in this. And I had said this last week. I had said last week that I'm not interested in the Brooks Jensen stuff because they're selling him as this like lunatic, right? At least that's what I thought he was supposed to be. I guess he still kind of is, but he's not a lunatic because a lunatic is somebody that's unhinged, right? That is just crazy in the head, right? You can say, I don't know, like he's willing to do daredevil stuff because of he's a lunatic, but that's not what Brooks Jensen is though. Brooks Jensen is just troubled. That's the character. He's just troubled. And so maybe you can say he's troubled because of the friendship and how things ended with him and Fallon and Josh Briggs. But yeah, he went from this sweet little innocent kid to all of a sudden he's drinking. And I'm putting quotations in the air, guys, because obviously, you know, storyline. But just want to make sure that you guys know. Anyways, so he's now drinking and basically ruining his life and just being a terrible person. That's the character. That's literally the character that they're doing right now with Brooks Jensen. And for me, it's really hard to buy because I had said this last week, I don't buy him in that manner. And then I completely forgot. Well, part of the reason why I probably don't buy him in this manner was because, again, he was the kid who hadn't even had a kiss yet. How did I just realize this right now? Oh my gosh. All right, Matt Logan, your super chat just broke me. We got Cadillac Carson here who says, not gonna lie, got a little teary eyed during the Lola promo. Dude, for me, and I will talk about this more in depth, but for me, it was the part where she spoke in Spanish. And I will tell you why in just a second. Thank you so much to Cadillac Carson. We got Shelton Jackson here who says, I'm going to say this and Lord have mercy on my soul. If I have to choose between JC Jane and Taylor, I might actually have to pick Taylor, even though I can't stand either of them. What did JC Jane do to you, Sheldon? What did JC Jane do to you? Given that I know how you feel about Taylor, I can't imagine. Wow. I'm stunned. I'm literally stunned right now. I thought you were going to choose JC Jane. Wow. William Buhner with a massive super chat. William, thank you so freaking much. Says, Denise, going solo, I acknowledge you. NXT has been cooking, in my opinion. William, dude, thank you so freaking much for sending this in. I know that it's not easy to send stuff in, like weekly super chats, the way that Sheldon Jackson does, or super chats just in general. So anytime anyone tunes in, hits the like button or sends a super chat, it really goes a long way. So even sending something like this really does, it makes a big difference. So thank you so much, William, seriously. All right, so we got to get into the show because there is a lot happening here. Joe, he brings up that Brooks Jensen is only 22. And they're basically saying he's an alcoholic now. Oh my God. Now I feel like I hate this even more. I was already hating on it on this angle, but I thought I was just being a hater because just some things if you don't instantly love, you almost instantly just dislike. So I thought I was just being a hater for no reason, but now I feel like I may have been justified in it. But we'll see. I'm going to let it play out. I did not like the way that this started, but I will let it play out. Sheldon Jackson here says Brooks Jensen is becoming a modern day loose cannon, Brian Pillman. Let's see where this goes. See, this is the hard part for me, though, is that I don't like comparing anybody to people that do stuff very well or did stuff very well. If someone did anything very, very well, I don't like when we compare somebody else to that, because then automatically they're almost set for failure just right off the bat. Because I don't feel like I can compare anybody to what Brian Pillman did during that time, because people legitimately believed it. Even behind the scenes, people legitimately believed it. And Brooks Jensen is not nowhere near that. So it is hard to say, to even dare to make those comparisons. But I will let it play out. I will say that much. I'll give it that much. Because right now I have been liking so much of what NXT has been doing. So I feel like they have at least earned my, they've at least earned me giving them the benefit of the doubt here. So things have been cooking a lot more on NXT, like William just mentioned a couple minutes ago. All right. So, oh yeah, Crazy Cool D says Brooks and Jensen were hanging in the bar 2 years ago. But was he drinking? He was drinking, right? So was that the start of his problems? I don't even want to joke about this. Oh my God, I don't even want to joke about this. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump right in, everybody. I want to kick things off with the Lola Vice and Roxanne Perez topic, because I think that's the biggest topic of tonight. And this one here, I think is going to have some complicated reactions from the people, because okay, so I'm going to walk you through what happened and how I felt, because it kept sort of changing. My emotions in this kept changing as the segment progressed. And so here's what went down. So Lola Vice and Roxanne Perez have this face-to-face. And Roxanne Perez, so first of all, Roxanne Perez basically says that Lola has made a better career for herself in NXT than she has in Bellator. And the crowd didn't really react to that line, but I thought that was a line that the crowd should have reacted to, because I did think that was kind of a cool line for her to say. Okay, whatever. And basically the gist of this was Roxanne telling her, you're in my world now. You're not in the MMA world. This is my world. The ring is my world. Okay, cool. Then on the other hand, we get Lola Vice, who basically says, she starts talking about how she has been through a lot of, she's had a lot of hard times, right? And she starts talking about her mom, how her mom got sick, and how her mom sacrificed a lot of things for her and for her sister. And she mentions that, you know, when she was 20 years old, she was already performing in Madison Square Garden. And so she's really getting very, very emotional at this point. And she's talking about just, you know, her family and what her mom did for her. And so that was the part that I think we need to get in. It's kind of a lot. So the first portion where Roxanne and Lola are talking to each other, I thought that part could have, hit a lot harder. And I'm going to say this because all of the segments prior to this between Lola and Roxanne hit really, really well. They kept it short and sweet, but they were always very effective. This is the longest interaction that they've had between them. And they even had some really great social media back and forth over the last couple of days. Like I even shared it on Twitter where they were both bringing up the fact that they're both Latinas, but they're both very, very different in the way that they present themselves. And that was sort of brought up to the point where like Lola even brought up Roxanne's butt. It was a whole thing. All right. So the part that I did think was weird in the beginning of the promo at the very start was that I kind of felt like Roxanne and Lola were on two different wavelengths here for a second. It felt like, I don't know, like they weren't really feeding off of each other's energy. It was more so, I need to say this because this is my line that I have to say. And that's kind of what I felt more from Roxanne in the beginning. So that's what I was thinking. But then when Lola Vice started to get emotional, at first, I thought that she was going to swerve us. I thought that she was going to say like, oh, gotcha. And so I really wasn't sure for the first couple of minutes if this was something serious or if she was basically playing possum here. I thought because Lola Vice has been a heel for a good chunk of her NXT run. She hasn't necessarily been a babyface. Now, of course, when you're going up against Roxanne, who is also a heel and a heel champion, it kind of felt like the tide may have been naturally just changing and we were going to maybe see Lola Vice get cheered because Roxanne Perez was going to get booed. So I felt here like I wasn't sure what was happening. I wasn't sure if this meant Lola Vice was a babyface now or if Lola Vice was being a heel and she was going to trick us and she was going to trick Roxanne Perez. I really wasn't sure. So she keeps on telling the story. And then once she mentioned her mom getting sick, I thought, oh my God. Like, okay, this is something that is, you can't boo someone, right? So she's clearly going to be a babyface in this scenario when she's talking about a subject like this. And then my favorite part, and this was the part that really, really got me, was when she started speaking in Spanish, because I did kind of feel for a second that maybe she had wanted there to be physical tears in this promo, but I don't think they necessarily came out. And so the part that did get me was when she said in Spanish that she was so thankful for her mom and all of the sacrifices that she made for her mom and for her sister. And I think that part got me because I'm like, oh, I can relate. I can definitely relate to this. Like, you're talking about your family. You're talking about the sacrifices that are made. I can relate. A whole lot of people can relate to that. And especially because she did it in Spanish. Because she did it in Spanish, that was the part that worked for me. So that was the part that got me to go, oh, okay. Like, she is being a babyface in this scenario. And then we continued on with the rest of it. And Roxanne Perez seemed to be thrown off by this. I wasn't sure. I kind of feel like she should have been snappy right back at her very fast. Instead of for like a second showing that she was thrown aback by Lola Vice. I think right away she should have gone in and been like, I don't care. Everybody has a sob story. And she eventually did, but it did take a second to the point where I'm going, oh, what is happening here? It felt like there were some just a little bit of disconnection in some parts, okay? But eventually she got it together. She did her bit. She threw everything that Lola Vice said in her face, showed absolutely no pity, no remorse towards her. So I did like that. Roxanne Perez, this whole entire time, was out there with two security guards. And this is the part that I did like too, by the way, because Lola is all of a sudden confronted by the security guard, and the security guard ends up getting backfisted and she knocks him down on the ground. I did like that because to me it showed just like female power. Hey, if she's got the skills, she can take a man down no matter what. But I did think that the other security guard should have reacted in a different manner, because if this was a real situation, like if these were two girls, I don't know, throwing down at the mall, if this scenario happened at the mall, let's just put it there for whatever reason. If this, you know what? I'm going to change it. If this scenario happened at the bar, there you go, at the bar. If she were to do that to a security guard at the bar and the other security guard was just like, oh, well, don't do that. And he was just being all weak because he really didn't do anything, the other security guard, that would not happen. If this was real life and this happened in a bar setting, or in the mall, wherever the hell you want to stay, Walmart parking lot, I don't know. For a fact, that security guard would have been like grabbing her already and she would have been going all crazy. I mean, there would have been a lot happening here. Of course, Lola Vice has the skills and she can defend herself a lot more than your average woman, but still, I feel like the security guard should have done a lot more than he did here. So anyways, all this to say is that there were some parts that really worked for me in this. And then there were some parts that took me a while to figure out what the hell was going on. Now, I am seeing a lot of mixed reactions. I'm seeing people that really enjoyed this segment because, again, you're bringing out this emotional side of a competitor. And then there are other people that are like, oh, that was cringe. She couldn't get the tears out. And so it wasn't perfect, but I didn't think it was terrible either. I did think there were some good highlights that you could bring out, maybe not the entire thing, some highlights that you can take out and put it in a video package and edit it, and it'll look really cool. So what all this to say is that I did enjoy some portions of this, and I do think that I'm still stoked for Lola Vice and Roxanne Perez, and I do want to see this continue a lot more. I really do think that there is a longer story to be had here between Lola and Roxanne. And part of me, I've been torn, guys, since the very beginning, not even this week. I've been torn for the last couple of weeks with what the hell should go down with Lola and Roxanne. And eventually I ended up subscribing to Chinadu's opinion, which was, let the story play out a little bit longer. You don't necessarily have to have Lola Vice win right away. The only thing that made me think she was going to win at NXT Heatwave was the part where she said she was going to be the first Cuban women's NXT champion. And part of me made me think, did they say that? Did they have that line in there so that when it does happen, we all know, hey, she's going to be the first NXT women's champion of Cuban descent. And so that made me think, huh, maybe Lola Vice is winning at NXT Heatwave. It was that one line that made me think that that was actually going to happen at NXT Heatwave. So if it does, if she does win, it was that line that was the big signal that she might actually win at the show. So again, I don't really know. I've gone back and forth. I feel like I change my mind every week. I'm still, as of right now, sticking with Roxanne Perez, only for the fact that they can keep this going a lot longer. And I do feel like they need to continue. If Lola Vice is going to win as a babyface, if she's going to become NXT Women's Champion as a babyface, I think they need to continue to get the crowd behind her as a babyface. So we'll see how this continues on. But let's go ahead and get in some, let's get some opinions here. Let's see what people are saying. This is from Hunter here. Oh, hey, Hunter, DWL member for 17 months. Says, hi, Denise. Hope all is well. Keep killing it. Hunter, always good to see you here in the chat. We got Christopher Marino who says, I hated this whole thing. One person was giving a sit-down interview and the other was doing a promo for that match, and it never worked for me. So that was kind of what I mentioned in the beginning, was that I did feel like Lola and Roxanne were on totally different wavelengths in the beginning. It came together in the end, but at the start, you did feel that disconnection because you had, I think Roxanne came across in the beginning just a little bit soft-spoken, and I think Lola was just ready to go. Like, she was ready. Like, I could tell, like, just based off of her body language and even just her, like, moving the microphone when she, like, was almost going to talk. Like, she was waiting for that last pause from Roxanne to get on the microphone and start talking. So I did feel a little bit more energy coming from her. And then eventually I do think Roxanne fed off that energy from Lola towards the end. So they brought it back together in the end, but the beginning was a little bit rough there. Christopher Marino, thank you so much for your super chat on that. So let's go ahead and see what else people are saying. Go ahead and send in your thoughts, guys. Let me know what you guys thought about this. William Buhner says that the other security guard was terrified because his partner got knocked out. Yeah, I get that that's what they were trying to do. But again, he's a security guard, right? Like, you got to, like, not be scared. You got to go in there and handle that shit because you're a security guard. So then he could have gone in and still attempted to do something. And you know what? Lola could have freaking backfisted him too. And all of a sudden, she laid out two big old men in front of Roxanne Perez. But I just wanted him to at least attempt it. At least attempt it just to make it a little bit more realistic instead of him just like being like, hey, I'm a backup, right? But anyways, it was still, I did like that in the end. Because again, girl power. I like that. All right, so let's keep it going. We're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic. And the next one that I'm going to get into is the NXT Championship contract signing. So this one here, I'll be real with you. I kind of felt like it was okay. The contract signing was okay. And primarily because there really wasn't any major, because they were all out there, all four guys. Sean Spears, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and Ethan Page. And they were all basically throwing jabs at each other, basically saying why they shouldn't win, blah, blah, blah. You guys know it's every contract signing ever goes down like this. But there wasn't any big shots that I felt were thrown or any real big lines that were said that made me go, oh, damn, that was really good. So it kind of felt a little bit forgettable, the whole entire talking portion of it all. So I didn't love that, because even sitting here, like the thing that I remembered the most was Sean Spears making fun of Javon Evans for being happy to simply be there. And it's true. Javon Evans is giving the I'm just happy to be here vibe. That's what he's doing. And Sean Spears is kind of right in that. And so that was really like the biggest thing that I recall really happening during this whole talking bit. But afterwards, we end up seeing them take out both Ethan Page and Sean Spears by putting them through the table. And what I did like was that at the end, I didn't want it to feel like Javon Evans and Trick Williams were best friends, because that has kind of been happening the last couple of weeks, where Javon Evans and Trick Williams are, you know, they're baby faces, right? So they are, I don't know, there's a mutual respect. They've teamed together. They've had each other's back. That's all been happening. But at the same time, like, this guy is his opponent at the show, and I didn't want them to be all chummy. And this time it felt like there was at least a little bit like Trick Williams was kind of tired of him for like a split second. I sensed that he was like, you know what? Stop acting like you're my little baby brother. Stop acting like you're my shadow. Get out of the way. You're my challenger come this weekend at NXT Heatwave. So I did like that for a split second, it looked like Trick Williams was fed up by Javon Evans. It was a very, very split moment, but I think they needed to do that because they need to, you know, they need to make it clear, hey, he's not his best friend. They're not going to be in there being besties. He wants his title. He wants his title. So there you go. And I really do think Javon Evans is just in there to take that pin, guys. I just think they're going to have, of course, Trick Williams retain, because I'm going to be kind of irritated if Trick Williams doesn't retain. And I don't know why. I just don't know. I don't want to see, well, it could be a situation, right? And this always happens. It could be a situation where Javon Evans is pinned by Trick Williams because they didn't want to have Trick Williams pin either Sean Spears or Ethan Page. Or it can be a situation where you have Ethan Page, for example, pin Javon Evans and he wins the title. But the whole time it's okay, he didn't pin the champion. And then they also didn't just have Sean Spears get pinned either. So we know what Javon Evans is there for. He's going to get a pin regardless of whether it's Trick Williams or a person who ends up winning the title there. I don't know if I want to see Ethan Page win the title in this type of match. I would have preferred to see him win the title if he was going to win it on a one-on-one match. But again, when it's a fatal four-way, they can use Javon Evans for, you know, for an opportunity to get the title on somebody else without having to pin the champion. I still think Trick Williams, though, is walking out NXT champion. I think it's still too soon to take that belt off of him, but we'll see what happens. We will see. All right, we got a super chat here from Matt Logan, who says the contract signing really lost the crowd. Javon seemed to get zero reaction from the crowd because no one believes he's winning at all. At all. Nobody. Like, he's there to take the pin. That's what, like, literally, like, we all know it. Everybody knows it. You, me, everybody. Javon. Hell, even Javon Evans knows it. He's just happy to be there. Legitimately, just happy to be there. Bless his soul. Matt Logan, thank you so much for that super chat. But yeah, you're right. It did lose the crowd. They weren't necessarily as hot for it as you would imagine that they would be hot for an NXT championship match. All right, so I want to get into probably my favorite part of the show. Now, I can't imagine anyone hating what we saw with the opening match of Meechan versus Jada Parker in this street fight. I am so freaking happy right now for multiple reasons. One, I was hella entertained, but the big one being that Meechan finally got an opportunity to show what she can do. Meechan was on SmackDown. She was there with the OC. She was basically just hugging AJ Styles every week. That's literally what they had her do. She wasn't even really wrestling that much on the actual main card. And I personally felt like they brought her back, but then they didn't really do anything with her. Like, she was part of this act, but she really wasn't wrestling. And when she did, she was person is going to give a win to somebody else that they wanted to keep pushing for along on the show. It didn't really feel like there was ever anything real or meant for Meechan. And so ever since she went to NXT, things have been so much better for her. She was part of the NXT Battleground ladder match for the NXT North American Women's Championship. She was, of course, part of the tournament that led to that. So already on NXT, she's having more matches and she's maybe treated with a little bit more respect in terms of, you know what? She's not a noob. She's not a developmental person. She actually has real experience. And so it feels like that is that's showing on NXT. It's showing that they know that Meechan has more real experience. So then we get to the street fight. And even though Meechan lost this match, to me, she was the winner in this match because she went in there and this was her basically saying, yeah, hi, remember me? I can actually do cool stuff. And this is and you can tell that she recognized that this was her opportunity because she had some moments in there where I feel like she went above and beyond to show the people in the back, don't forget about me. I am an entertaining performer. I'm willing to get down and I'm willing to do what I have to do. And after this match, I want to see more of this Meechan. Please give me more. Serve it on a platter. Serve Meechan on a platter. I want to see more of her constantly on NXT. This match was so freaking cool. And I'm just going to call out the biggest moments in this. And the biggest moments was one of them. And I posted my reaction on Instagram. So if you guys want to check it out. One of them was Meechan doing a dive to the outside onto three tables because Jada Parker moved the hell out of the way. So Meechan just went face first into these three chairs that were on the outside. And it was so freaking cool. The crowd was chanting holy shit over and over. It looked awesome. It looked awesome not for Meechan though, because she looked like she just got bam right in the face. But it was great, man. Like, she didn't have to do that spot, but she did. And then there was a moment where she got put through the chairs, the pile of chairs with the thumbtacks on it, back first, right into that. That was hella fun to see. They brawled a little bit on the outside, and there's this one portion of the stage that we always see get broken through with the wall. And Jada literally like booty first right into Meechan, and they break the wall. But this was just fun. Those were really the big moments in this, but I really do think that Meechan just like showed out and proved, hey, pay attention to me, guys. That's what this was. She lost the match. But damn, she felt like the real winner here. It felt like Meechan was the one doing everything in this match. But I also want to give credit to Jada. And I say that Meechan was doing everything in this match because Jada still knew. Jada doesn't have the experience that Meechan does. So Jada did her part. She went along with whatever it is she had to do. She did her job. But obviously, she's not as experienced as Meechan. So you can tell like Meechan was going out there and pretty much doing everything, handling business. And she was the one who took all of the big bumps as well. Besides a few for Jada Parker, where she got put through the barricade. But primarily it was Meechan there. So all this to say, she was the real winner here tonight. And I hope that they continue to put her in some good storylines, because I would love to see like Meechan against Lola Vice, for example. That would be really fun to see. Meechan and Wendy Chu, that would be interesting too. I mean, there's so many people, her and Carmen Petrovic. There's a lot of women here that you can tell. Oh my gosh, her and Fallon Henley. I feel like there's a lot of little stories that you can tell there with Meechan, because she's coming across like a badass. So good stuff there. All right, let's see what people are saying. We have Jared here, who's been a member of the DWO for 8 months, says, Mia and Jada, women's match of the year candidate. Jada was made. For NXT, yes. For NXT, this was probably one of their best. It's hard to say. There's been some good women's matches on NXT, so especially this year. There's been a lot of good stuff, but this one was definitely up there, especially because it came out of nowhere. It was like 1 second they're feuding. Oh, this is really serious. Let's put this match in a street fight. Oh, it's more serious than I thought since they're in a street fight. And then all of a sudden it was hella entertaining. So it was definitely a top match for what we've been seeing for the women on NXT. But there's been a lot of really good matches though for the women. Thank you so much, Jared, for sending your thoughts in on that. All right. So we got sports and wrestling guy Joe who says it seems that Meechan performs better down in NXT than on the main roster. It's not that she necessarily performs better, I think. It's that she's given an opportunity to actually show herself a little bit more. Like the times when she was performing on the main roster, she was helping other people climb further up that ladder. And Meechan was just kind of there. And you got like, you get lesser time. She got lesser time in her matches. I don't really feel like she was set up to really show what she can do. Versus here, just veteran. She had time. She had a lot of opportunity to get creative. And it just feels like there was just a better setup for her to actually look good in this match. So yeah, I love this. This was a win across the board. This was my favorite thing from NXT here tonight. So with that being said, let's go ahead and continue on. There's just a couple of highlights we need to get into. And then I want to do the official NXT Heatwave predictions. And that'll pretty much be our show. But the other thing that I really loved on NXT, this is actually my second favorite thing on NXT. Please, guys. It's been a long time. We're not, okay, if you're new here, we give a lot of love to the women because the women are killing it on NXT, all right? It's kind of sporadic when we give the men some love, but when we get the men some love, it's because they did something good. And we need to give some love to a division on NXT that I haven't given much love to in a long time, and that is the men's tag team division. They deserve some love today because guess what? My faves, guys, my faves, Hank and Tank. They're back in action. Now, I don't know what it is about Hank and Tank, man, but I'm a freaking fan. I've been a fan for the longest time of theirs. I just knew it, all right? It was fan at first sight. Hank and Tank go in this match against the New Catch Republic. And, dude, come on now. Come on. I don't even know what to say. They had instant chemistry with each other. And it's funny because when you look at both of those teams, you would think that the team bringing the power was New Catch Republic. But no, it was literally freaking the New Catch Republic. Tyler Bate, man, when he pulled... Hank is a big guy, okay? Hank is a big guy. When he freaking was spinning Hank, he made Hank look like he weighed 20 pounds, man. He made this man look like a pillow. I'm not kidding you. And so this was just seamless. It was flawless. It was good. And so they gave me faith. They restored my faith in the men's NXT tag team division. Please run this back a couple of more times. Tell a story here. Do something. I need to see more of these two teams together because this was good. They found something there. This was like a little gem they didn't know they had, or maybe they did. I don't know. This was good. Very good. All right. So I like how everybody's putting over this match, by the way. Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. All right. So the other thing that I want to talk about is Wendy Choo versus Carly Bright. Wendy Choo is doing her, I don't know, she's like Avril Lavigne. She's like dark and she's punk, but she's also cute. So there you go. That's what Wendy Choo is. She's wrestling's Avril. She's NXT's Avril Lavigne here. I like the entrance, man, but I think the best part of this was her sort of going crazy towards the end and not wanting to let go this chokehold on Carly Bright. She gets the win via submission, but just the way that she locked the chokehold and she made it look like she was some crazy person, I thought that that worked out very nicely there. And that's really kind of it. We already talked about Brooks Jensen. I don't know what is going to be next, but they basically had Shawn Michaels sort of recap what had been going down with Brooks Jensen outside of NXT, because a lot of this has been happening on social media, which they showed some videos, they showed some tweets, they even put out some like fake reports and all of this to sell that he is unhinged, that he's a loose cannon and all of that nonsense, right? I haven't decided if this is for me just yet. I'm going to continue watching, but yeah, it's basically implied that he's kind of an alcoholic and he's kind of messed up and his life is going downhill and they're trying to help him. That's really what was implied during this entire video. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, not a great start, but maybe they can bring it back in and we'll see what they make of all of this. Alrighty, everyone. We need to get into the NXT Heatwave official predictions. So here we go. I can't change these anymore. Once they're official, they're official. It's like predictions jail is going to get you. All right. That doesn't make sense. All right. Let's get to this. Only five matches. And I also want to get your guys' predictions here in the chat. So let's go. All right. We're going to start with Roxanne Perez and Lola Vice. We have spent a lot of time talking about this match. NXT Women's Championship. I'm going to give my official pick to Roxanne Perez only for the simple fact that they can tell a longer story here, but I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm going against my gut here. I really am going against my gut because my gut is still sort of saying Lola Vice, especially after that line where she said she would be the first Cuban NXT Women's Champion. I'm going against my better judgment here. So I'm going to say Roxanne Perez, but I'm not convinced. All right. NXT North American Championship. We got Obafemi versus Wesley. If Obafemi wins, Lee can never challenge for that title as long as he's champion. Okay. I think Obafemi needs to win, guys. We've seen Wesley as, I know Wesley came back from a back injury. It was a very emotional roller coaster for him, but we've seen Wesley as champion and we got a lot from him as NXT North American champion. And I don't feel we've done that just yet with Obafemi. There's still a long ways to go. So I say, keep the belt on Obafemi, no title change. Here's the next one though, where I do think there may be a title change. Maybe the NXT Women's North American Championship, Kalani Jordan defending against Sol Ruka. So Sol Ruka was the popular pick for who they thought was going to win in the first place and become the inaugural Women's NXT North American Champion. And she did it. She did not win. And that was very surprising to me, very surprising to a lot of people. Kalani Jordan, she did phenomenal in that match. She was an MVP in it. She really was. Her and Sol Ruka, they were the top two women in that match. But I feel like they haven't given me a real reason to believe that they're going to give Kalani this like long title reign. She got her first win when she was defending the title. She had some help. She defeated Meechan, but she had help from Jada Parker, which then led to the street fight that we were talking about earlier. And so I almost feel like this is a situation where we're going to see a new women's North American champion be crowned. And Sol Ruka, can I just say that freaking video package that they shared of hers, she's so freaking cool, right? I say this all the time. I love Sol Ruka. She's my fave, but I would never hang out with this woman because she looks like she cannot lay down, relax, and do nothing. She looks like she's got to get up and do something all the time. And not just like get up and maybe, I don't know, do something fun around the house. No, she gets up and she does crazy things like surf and skateboard and things that can actually hurt you. Things that I do not do, that I would never do. And so I love Sol Ruka, never would hang out with her. She would put me to work, man. But anyways, I think Sol Ruka is winning the NXT North American Women's Championship. Love Kalani, but they've just given me no reason to think that she's going to retain here just yet. So we'll see. But I would be happy if she retained. But yeah, I'm going with Sol Ruka here. NXT tag team titles are going to be on the line. Nathan Frazer and Axiom versus Chase University. Let's be real, guys. You guys all know my answer. Nathan Frazer and Axiom retain. I would be really upset if Chase U wins. I'm sorry. It's going to be a bummer. So Nathan Frazer and Axiom better retain. All right. We also got the Fatal 4-Way match, the NXT Championship, Trick Williams defending against Javon Evans, Ethan Page, and Sean Spears. I'm going to go basic and just say Trick Williams is retaining. There is a possibility that I can see Ethan Page getting the win here. So if Trick Williams loses, it's because Ethan Page won. But I just don't want to see. I think they might want to. Damn it. I'm starting to think I'm wrong in my answer, guys. I'm starting to think I'm wrong. I'm starting to think it is going to be Ethan Page. I have a feeling it might be Ethan Page. You know what? Screw it. I'm going with Ethan Page here because I have a feeling he is going to somehow find a way to get the win here where Trick Williams is going to get screwed. And then we're going to continue to tell this story with Trick Williams and Ethan Page and just get a little bit more out of it. So you know what? I'm switching. Ethan Page. I think he's winning.
I don't know. All right, we'll see what happens. I'm kind of a little bit nervous. We'll see. I haven't been doing so well in my NXT predictions anymore. Last pay-per-view, I kind of bombed in my predictions. It was the worst I ever did. And I think it's a lot of it was because I doubted myself. And I doubted myself again today, but we'll see. All right, we got David Kaplan here who says, how was your trip to Scotland? Was that your furthest trip you ever did? And did you get a chance to check out the city? And what was your favorite part? Thanks. David, thank you so much. I did post a vlog up. It's exclusive for DWO members. I post the vlogs up because they're kind of personal. You know, I get a little personal in those. So they're kind of exclusive for DWO members. But I guess I get a little shy to put up my vlogs out there publicly, which is weird. I do have public vlogs out, by the way, but I'm very picky with which ones I put publicly and which ones I put just for members. It's like a secret society, right? Anyways, whatever. I'm making too much of it. The trip to Scotland, I don't think was my furthest. I think the furthest I've ever gone was Russia, but I technically didn't leave the airport, so I don't know if that counts, but I went to Russia on my trip to Italy, because it was cheaper to fly to Russia first than to fly straight to Italy. So I saved like 400 or 600 bucks on that flight when I did that, but that was several years ago. And I did get a chance to check out the city, Glasgow. I did the entire tour. I went on the tour bus. I sightseed. I saw everything. There wasn't really too much to see in Glasgow. So then I went to Edinburgh. And there I did get to see a whole lot more. I was there. I did 12 hours of sightseeing that day, which was very fun, but it also kind of messed me up because for the next 2 days, I was still recovering. And also, a lot of people don't know this. If you guys remember, I had my dental surgery that week that I left to Scotland. I don't know how many of you guys remember this. And so I was actually in a lot of pain in Scotland. I looked like a pill popper. I was popping pain pills every single day because I was still under a lot of pain. So for 2 days I was tired from the sightseeing, but I was also like tired from my mouth, man, and I couldn't really eat. I had to be so careful still, and it was just, anyways, it was a lot, but I'm okay now. And yeah, so there you go. That was fun. I miss Scotland. We'll see when I go back. David Kaplan, thank you so much for asking. All right, guys. I think that's it. That is it for tonight. Thank you so much for joining me. Before I go, tomorrow I will be back here with Righteous Reg for AEW Dynamite Conversation. This is going to be a loaded weekend because Saturday I will also be here with Righteous Reg to talk about WWE Money in the Bank. And then, of course, Friday, SmackDown. Almost forgot to mention SmackDown with Robin on Friday. Saturday, I will be here with Reg for Money in the Bank. NXT Heatwave, I don't know who I'm doing that show with just yet. So I will find out what I do for that day. But either way, I will be here on Sunday to talk about NXT Heatwave. And so, yeah, there's a lot going down here on the channel. And do not forget to check out those daily SummerSlam videos. Alrighty, everyone. That's it for me. Have an awesome day. Bye, everyone.